Right now I'm speaking with Melissa Stickle, Sullivan County Director of Community Services, and Wendy Brown, who is Deputy Director of Sullivan County Public Health Services, as well as a registered nurse. The topic today, a new program, medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorder. I was informed by Wendy Brown that this is really, really something that the county has been working on and community services has been working on for a very, very long time. This is kind of a big deal, isn't it?
It's a tremendous deal. And, you know, at first I just want to start by saying kudos to the community services team. They've really been working hard to get this up and running, and it's a program that's desperately needed here in Sullivan County, especially now with the different challenges that we're facing with COVID.
Medication-assisted treatment, MAT. Describe to me briefly what MAT medications are, and we can get into the details as to what will be available here in Sullivan County.
I'm not clinical or medical, so I'll make it very simple. The Department of Community Services has been and will continue to provide MAT services. The services that we're looking to provide, the medications that we're looking to provide, are buprenorphine, which is also known as Suboxone, and naltrexone, which is also known as Vivitrol. These are both antagonists and partial antagonists. These medications will be offered on-site through an on-site psychiatrist or one of our telepsychs. This can be done via telephone, so persons don't have to be fearful of coming out or coming on-site. So we'll be able to prescribe these medications, and then they could get the medications from their local pharmacies and be able to self-administer. They will be followed by our doctors, who will be calling them frequently, seeing how they're doing. And they may need to come in at some point to meet the doctor and make sure that everything's going well. And sometimes you just got to be able to see people to be sure that everybody's doing okay. But that'll be on a case-by-case, and it'll be worked out between the doctor, their counselor, and the individual being seen. Individuals who are seeking or needing this service are usually individuals who are misusing drugs. It could be prescribed medications, or it could be illegal drugs. But there's no judgment here. We get that people make poor choices at times. Things happen, and they need help. And that's what we're here to do.
And so what is specifically so important about the fact that Sullivan County will now be offering these programs?
You know, I'd like to address that briefly, Mike. It's not that these medications, there are other providers in the area that provide this type of treatment. And, you know, very proud of the fact that I would say it's probably about a year and a half now we partnered with Catskill Regional, and they opened up a program where they can actually start people on buprenorphine in the emergency department. This is something that's gone statewide, and actually it's happening nationally and various in different areas depending on philosophies and medical availability. But the fact that we, little teeny Sullivan County, was really on the cutting edge of getting this up and running is a tremendous feather in the cap of all the providers here in Sullivan County, and it really has been a partnership. What we have found is that consistently from, and we get these calls frequently on our addiction and referral line, is that people don't, you know, they can't get into services. Services aren't available. Well, the programs that are up here, and Melissa, I'll defer to you on this too, many times they're full. So having another opportunity to provide this service to the people in Sullivan County is just terrific. And as I said, we've heard for many months now that, I can't get an appointment, I can't get in, how can you help me? And this is how Sullivan County has stepped up to the plate.
And a lot of the providers that are currently doing it, they provide the MAT, but they don't provide the counseling to work in conjunction with it, which has been shown through different studies, that it works much better and is much more effective if you provide both the medication and the therapy. And as Wendy shared, many of our providers don't have availability. They're only allowed to treat a certain number of individuals by their licensure. So that also causes problems. So if you only have five or six providers in the community and their licenses and the number of persons that they can serve is full, it becomes very difficult. So we felt that it would be very necessary to add that service. We have two on-site that will have the availability to prescribe. We have one additional on-site who's currently getting her certification, and we'll have two telepsych service providers who can provide it. So we will actually have an anywhere between 4 to 5 providers that can provide the service.
So does that mean under ordinary circumstances there would be an element of not just getting the medication, but also getting counseling of some kind? But how is that working right now?
Well, basically what we're doing is we still are providing on-site services, especially for those high-needs individuals, Tuesday through Thursday, 9 to 1, by appointment. And then we're also doing everything telephonically, and we are looking to expand our city services to include video for those clients that are interested in that and have the ability to do that. It's actually been working very well. We're actually doing groups through conference calls, and we're reaching out to people telephonically. And with the waivers that have been put in place by the state oversight agencies, OASIS and OMH, we're able to do this telephonically. We don't actually have to have persons come in where we can actually provide this service and the medications and be able to provide counseling along with that.
And Melissa, this is also being covered now. The telehealth is being covered by insurances, correct?
That is correct.
Which is another big plus. So that just brings another aspect to it that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so people don't have to worry about the additional costs either.
Is this medication-assisted treatment program underway right now? Are people in the program right now?
We actually just went live midweek of the 13th, and we actually have 2 people who have joined us for the program, and we've been, you know, putting out the information to everyone out there. We have the agreement. We've talked to the hospital. So we're going to be working with our local hospital. They do some induction in the ED and then look to refer persons for further service outside of themselves. And we're also working with our Sullivan County Jail, where they're also looking to do inductions for those who are looking to be reacclimated back into the community. So we do know that the service will grow rather rapidly over the next few months.
And you know, as far as the connection with the jail is such a big plus, because we know that that many of the people that are in the jail are there because they have a substance use issue, and we want to make sure that when they come out there's services available to them so they don't get back into the same life pattern that they were in before.
And that's what you find when somebody goes into a inpatient or an incarceration or any kind of facility where they kind of don't have access to substances, and then they come back out, they're more likely to relapse, because unfortunately, even though their body says, well, I haven't had this in a while and I'm good, their brains don't, and they go right back to using the same amount they were using prior to. And unfortunately, that leads to a multitude of overdoses. So we needed to start that in the jail first. So they are inducting people there, and then it just makes sense to continue them on those services when they come back out.
And also just getting back to the folks that are in the jail that are coming out, you know, the incidence of overdose when people are released from jail is for the first 3 weeks. It's very high, the potential for them to use again and overdose, because they haven't had the medication, so their body is functioning at a different level, and unfortunately they may go back and use the same amount that they were using before they went in, and they really get in trouble.
So now, are there limits as to the number of patients, individuals that can be treated through this program?
There will be, again, it's based on licensure. For any new practitioner, I believe it's like 40-50 clients. And then for someone who's had their license for a while, it's up to 100. So again, we have anywhere between 4 to 5 practitioners, or will have. We currently have 4. So with that, we will be able to treat approximately 300 individuals.
So let's talk about the need, especially now as we come out of, slowly come out of this COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, there are going to be many, many stages along the way, and I'm not insinuating that we're in the clear at all. But, you know, we've been hearing a lot, even on a national level, that the incidence of substance use disorder has been increasing tremendously under the current environment. So what's the situation here locally?
Yeah, I can speak to that. We have a system partnering with the police and EMS where we actually monitor on a daily basis. I actually have the ability, as a matter of fact, unfortunately, when I come in the morning, that's one of the first things I do. I go and look and see where the activities have been in the, you know, 24 hours or the, you know, the couple of days before. And looking at the stats, just since the beginning of January, we've seen our numbers of fatalities have increased significantly from January to the beginning of March, we were at one number, and then once the, you know, stay-at-home orders came into place, our numbers of fatalities actually doubled.
Wow. Yeah,
so. And from the middle of March until it was just, I think I pulled the end of the numbers were last week. And we see that, you know, it's not, as you referenced, Mike, it's not just here in Sullivan County. It's happening across the country. We had we have connections in Washington where I get information, and Ohio specifically is, for some reason, Ohio has had some really interesting jumps in their numbers, which always opens the door to a whole other cadre of issues. But the news is that, you know, being home and being isolated, you would think numbers would indicate that that has definitely had an impact.
Do you have any feel for demographics? And I say this, I reference it to something I was reading actually earlier today regarding college students, younger people, some of the younger demographics and people that are suddenly thrust into this very unreal situation as to what their future is like. There's speculation that, in fact, this might create overdoses and situations like this. Is there any feel for that here in Sullivan County?
I can't speak to Sullivan County. I've been researching and following the state data. I lean on Wendy and her department to get more of the local data. But from the research that I have done, there's been approximately a 32% increase in overdoses, not necessarily deaths, but overdoses throughout New York State. And it's predominantly from the age group between mid-20s to mid to late 40s.
At those demographics, you know, you're probably talking unemployment issues and financial issues and just the everyday things that we all worry about. It's a problem. It really is a problem. So as we wrap up here, who applies to this? I mean, we already spoke about the fact that people are referred perhaps from Catskill Regional Medical Center and other facilities. Who else can participate in this? And can a family member, can an individual actually pick up the phone and call community services and find out about the program, perhaps even sign up for a program like this?
Yes. Anyone who's interested, we also provide some family support for individuals, you know, if they need their own counseling, as it were. But yes, a family member could refer. It could be a self-referral or it could be an agency referral.
So that really is the important element, is the fact that there's social services and support in addition to the medication. I mean, the medications are available elsewhere, but really the important part of this program is the fact that you have this service for those people that might be in need.
And we're also doing the family component.
How exactly does the family support and the family component work in this program?
Again, anyone could refer. An individual could refer themselves. A family member could refer them. An agency could refer them. But what we're really looking to do here is an individual that comes into this service, we work closely with the individual who's identified to have the problem with the substances, but we also work with the family members to get a better understanding and to be able to support them. And we find through evidence-based studies that if you have an individual and their family and the support from the family, individuals are much more successful in maintaining recovery and sobriety.
So bottom line, how do people get a hold of community services, Sullivan County Public Health Services? Give me the contact information and the process.
Anyone who's interested in this service, whether they have questions or are looking to get involved in the program, please call us at 845-292-8770 anytime, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You will get a live person.
You can also get information about the program at Community Services by calling our 24/7 local information referral line, and that number is 866-832-5575. That's 866-832-5575.
And that's always a great resource, of course. Again, thanks to Melissa Stickle, Director of Community Services for Sullivan County, and Wendy Brown, Registered Nurse and Deputy Director of Public Health here in Sullivan County, talking to us about the new Medication-Assisted Treatment for Opioid Use Disorder program available through Sullivan County Community Services.